Hello, hello, and welcome to the 35th Metroplexity Podcast. This is Kinnack, also known as Landon Winkler, coming to you from beautiful Columbus, Ohio. Looks like it'll be a pretty short podcast today, which is kind of nice, because I just put some bread on, so I have an hour and 40 minutes, so if it lasts longer than that, I'll have to pause you and go tend to the bread. So let's get moving. We've got some questions from Al up first. Hi, Kinnack, how are you? I'm doing pretty good. In non-Kinnack, but dev team-related news, Puyo just got back from an extended vacation in Japan, which involved a lot of going to hero shows, some visiting family, obligatory onsen episode. She had a awesome time, and is still jet-lagged down back. But hopefully she'll be back on her feet soon. Sounds like she had a really good time, but was definitely very glad to be back. She there's a bit of culture shock from going from the quietest, most polite person in every room to the loudest, most obnoxious person in every room, which is about what happened there. So it's kind of rough, but sounds like she had a pretty good time. Got to go to visit a bunch of family and see the aforementioned Kuro shows, mostly in Shirakawa. In other dev team, but not Kinnack related news, Liz, my spouse / person who kicks my ass until I actually do advertising stuff, has been doing some freelance editing for Paizo Publishing, which are the people who make Pathfinder, which is the RPG we mostly play now, and first book that she worked on just came out, which is pretty exciting. It's Syrian Legacy of Pharaohs, which is a book about totally not Egypt. She's been working on some other projects for them as well that will be coming out over the next several months, so it's been pretty cool to see that sort of moving forward. As far as actually Kinnack-related news, been sort of in a bit of a rut, but getting better. Watching entirely too much anime, reading entirely too much manga, sort of half waiting for Puyo to get back and half just recharging. Status updates on Novos, Unearthly Items, or anything else in the pipe? I've been doing some work on the next Unearthly Item. Actually, Puyo got me the art for it before she left, so don't blame Puyo for that being super delayed. It's mostly a poor decision on my part, which was we had a house guest for a while, for quite a while, actually, most of the time that Puyo was gone. And, totally fine with Puyo being here. You can totally get work done when Puyo's here. Can't totally get work done if anybody else is here. It's just badness. And I guess unrelated to that, bunch of drama and stuff, too. It's been sort of an annoying 2 months. But anyway, that aside, I've been getting some work done on the new Unearthly Item, which looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. Also doing, preparing to take a look at the Midgard player, because that needs to be revamped and should be coming back with this new Unearthly Item. I want to get that updated to Novos while it's in rotation, so people who want the new version of it can get it, which is kind of nice, sort of an unexpected benefit of rotating things like we do. Yeah, that's about what I've been working on. Other than that, yeah, really just Novos stuff. Museum questions. When you said hidden more masks in the museum, does that imply that there's some mask items that are available from the start? Why did the update text change there? The update text was just because I realized that there wasn't any immediately obvious change, so I wanted to make it clear that even though there wasn't an immediate obvious change, something had changed, and you shouldn't expect it to be immediately obvious. Just to get everyone on the same page, like, I didn't, you know, just, like, fail to push the update, because it totally happens, or, like, otherwise break things, and that it was just not obvious. The runes on the tablet in the museum look suspiciously like the mysterious puzzle box, and the runic orb seems to use blood of the ancients. Is there any connection between these items? Seems like a fair bet. There's actually quite a bit of interplay there, not on the mechanical level necessarily, but on the sort of story background level. If you sort of dig into the tablet some, I think you'll find some interesting implications there. Or not. I mean, that's sort of the danger of story implications. They're not something that you can really test and find out, right? Is there any kind of garrot technique that we can learn from the yellow lace or electrical wires? I don't believe so. At the very least, not strictly garrotting. Although I do love the word garrot, so, you know, there is sure to be one eventually. Is there any way to snag a piece of the Painted Woman's umbrella, i.e. the verse of what she does to us, using binding words on her didn't seem to work? Not a half-bad idea, but not at present. You can't steal it from her other than, you know, stealing it from her. Is there any tangible reward for killing the Painted Sky, other than resetting the Stikar color, if that's how that works? I wouldn't say that there's anything for just killing the Painted Sky. There's always the possibility that there might be some additional trigger that's required, though. Avatar questions. Avatar unlocks are generally not very well known, but it seemed that some require persistence, some require meeting a specific tricky set of circumstances. Would you recommend trying the former or the latter strategy to find new stuff? The part with the Avatar is that I think makes them especially hard is, for the most part, that they require both. Or, like, require a set of circumstances and some luck, which ends up playing out a lot like persistence, that sort of thing. But, yeah, for the most part, it's not just like, you know, win a PvP fight in this outfit. Oh, hey, good, you're gone. Great, go. Some of the ones tied to unearthly items are sort of, are more puzzly. But the standard PvP ones are more just, tend to involve equal parts of persistence and circumstances. And some of the sets of circumstances are legitimately pretty, difficult. I mean, they're sort of, you kind of have to jump in with both feet and hope that it works. And they obviously vary from relatively easy to get straight down to, oh my god, how will anyone ever find this? So, we PvP with Wolf Belt hasn't given any avatars, including infecting a bunch of people and doing a full moon cycle in PvP. Any hints there? Man, I'm not even 100% sure that there is a Wolfman avatar. does look kind of like a Wolfman avatar. Yeah. I'm just double-checking to make absolutely sure that it exists before I try to give you any hints. Because that would be awful. Officially make me an even worse person than normal. Yes. It is a thing that does exist. Now the question is where I hit it. There we go. I'm a terrible human being. Okay, I feel better having reminded myself of how that was put together. I guess you're not on a bad track. You just sort of might need some persistence, or maybe some focus and persistence. But I think. It's a pretty conniving one. It would be difficult to get by accident. I don't believe it specifically requires PvP. A lot of the unearthly avatars don't. Which isn't to say that none of them do, but a lot don't. In any case. You wouldn't have any problem getting it in PvP either, so however you want to go about that. There are basic melee, ranged, etheric, and fire avatars, but no stealth one discovered so far. Something to look into. I have never implemented a stealth avatar because they're sort of contradictions in terms, almost. Like, what does a stealthy person look like? I mean, like, basically anyone or nothing, right? So I guess at some point I'll probably just decide, you know, a vision I want for it and get an avatar for it. But the that's all that's going on there. It's just if it did exist, I'm sure it would have been unlocked by now. And if I do put it in, I will mention something. I usually try to do that whenever I put something in that could have worked before. Like, I'm not coming up with a great example right now. But if I put out something that, you know, oh, we tried A plus B, like if it was like a crafting recipe, and I put in a new recipe that was using two old ingredients that hadn't been craftable before, I'd probably mention something, stuff like that. But stealth would fall into that category, stealth avatar. Other questions. For all the rushes completing the dorms last Halloween, the finishing touches have been going on quite a while now. Will we see the completed dorms soon? I would not be surprised if you were to see those in the relatively near future. Now, moving on to some questions from Magnifica. Now that the first floor is working the way you intended all along, it's very hard to get the Unleashed Spider technique due to the shortage of spider drones / horrific spiders. Do you plan on opening up the webbed building or otherwise providing a new source of bindable spiders anytime soon? Not particularly. They aren't... There are some ways to get more of them than I think people realize, but I don't have any particular intent to open up the webbed building soon. Thanks for the knife update. There are a fair number of gaps in the items by ID right around the knives from them. Are there a whole bunch of new knives we missed somehow? There were 3 or 4 knives added in that update. And I think you found at least some of them. I guess I wouldn't be surprised if at least a couple of those were knives, but that was in the middle of a lot of other content going in. I know that was right around when I was doing the Christmas stuff, so there might be some Christmas stuff in there that didn't get for one reason or another also. So far, we've found an effect, Rune of Contemplation. The Shard of Languages skill unlocks. So there are more that it does. Shard of Languages? There's a bunch of stuff. It's kind of neat. I mean, I shouldn't say like a... we're not talking, you know, like a... you know, the painting skill or anything, right? Like, it does some stuff. It doesn't do a ton of stuff, in that sense. How much more if we let you discover about the black tablet chart? I think... I mean, there's still quite a bit about how the pieces fit together that I think isn't entirely clear, which is partially my fault. There have been some bugs that took a while to get squared away. But the I think of the main content, there's only a couple of things left. Clever players have demonstrated the mastery of the code to mysterious circuitry by finding an avatar associated with it, but we still don't have the top tier form. Are you surprised things happened in this order? Any hints on upgrading the code's ultimate form? I guess I'm not super surprised. That it came in that order. I would say that they're different kinds of hard, but I would say they're about equally hard. I feel like getting the avatar is just sort of difficult. Like, it's not a... It doesn't take, like, a huge leap to get to it. Whereas the final upgrade of the coat might require a bit more mental gymnastics, rather than, like, it's more on the player side of things than the character side of things. Which might be the wrong way, but, well, I'm fine with those going either way. We haven't found any special use for the paint address yet. Are we missing something important here? I wouldn't say anything important, no. Have we now found everything we need in the Hall of Paintings to be able to find the special hallway and only content the Tattooed Man was hinting at? That was necessarily Halloween only, although I wouldn't be entirely surprised if Halloween was the time of his return. But you have the appropriate pieces in place now. I do not have to hold back on him anymore, because there are pieces missing. I think people will appreciate that. Even though the protein moving on to some questions from Argith. Even though protein analyzing the petrol sludge produces the same stuff as the eclipse sample, we can't mention it to Lowe. Is there a reason for that, or is it just because Lowe's turn-ins are otherwise items? I feel that it wouldn't necessarily advance the quest, which would be kind of confusing. It's more of that it's an interesting question that it raises, like what exactly is contaminating it with Eclipse? Like, is this stuff being, you know, dumped into the lake, or is there some sort of industrial byproduct that is being used, you know, in the construction of Eclipse? Like, what's going on there? But it doesn't really get to the central question that he's getting at, which is more in more a question of the effects of these etheric species. So it would be a little weird to have it in there, just because everything else sort of you have to choose so many options in the quest advances. And then that's, I would say, why. Some questions from Vols. Are you still friends with Twitch? Tell him Paid by Piper Pal is forcing him to play Metroplex again with the Twitch controller. I have not talked to Twitch in a while. I'm really remarkably bad at keeping in touch with people. Like, I will sort of move or, you know, change friend groups or whatever and just, like, totally lose contact with people. So, yeah, I haven't talked to him in a while. Not like my most sterling personality trait. It's actually sort of surprising that we managed to get Puyo and Durgan out here from Peoria. Because I'm usually, like I said, so bad at keeping in touch with people that aren't, like, right there. I mean, I have pretty close friends who live, like, literally down the road, like, maybe 2 blocks, maybe 3 blocks from here, who I just barely even see, and it just doesn't occur to me to get in touch with them. I'm kind of an awful person that way. Although, speaking of Peoria, I had a sort of interesting conversation. I guess it was yesterday morning? Yeah, Tuesday morning. With some of the staff at our gym. About how ridiculously, like, horribly boring Peoria was. And one of them had a friend who traveled through Peoria a lot for work. And we were sort of comparing notes. Because I was attempting to explain it, and it sounds ridiculous. Like, it's just, like, wherever you sort of, in my experience, wherever people grow up, a lot of times they'll think it's really boring. Like, just because it's what they're used to, and as you're growing up, you don't necessarily have a lot of options for stuff to do. I mean, it's like, you know, you can go clubbing or whatever, or, like, shopping, even really, in a lot of cases. And you may not appreciate, you know, a lot of the more refined entertainments. But, not that I grew up in Peoria, but, you know, if you tell someone, like, oh, this place that I used to live is super boring, they're like, well, it's probably not that bad. It's totally that bad. But I was attempting to explain this, and one of the other people there was like, yeah, it's actually that bad. which I enjoyed. We can now bond over bad mouthing Peoria. But I did find the interesting sort of trying to describe why it's so boring. Really kind of came down to chain everything. Like, not that there are literally no you know, locally owned restaurants or stores, but the chain experience is so dominant that even the local places aren't really, like, being challenged to compete at a level that they would be if they were competing against other local places, because there are just so few of them by, sort of, by density. Where, like, there's a Italian place that we ate at not infrequently in Peoria that, like, would not survive here. And, like, a pizza place we hung out with all the time, which was totally awful chain pizza bar place that, like, I wouldn't go to if it was within walking distance, because there are, like, four better pizza places than walking distance. Now, and that partially is just, you know, Columbus is awesome, but, like, it's like, oh, here's, like, one of the best places in the whole city, which is not even, like, not even as good as the food in my hometown, which is, like, 23,000 people. Anyway, Peoria is terrible. Moral of the story. But a lot of it has to do with the lack of competition there, and culturally there's an interesting parallel with the fact that everyone there basically works for one company. So that company doesn't have any real competition for workers, and it's an interesting sort of monoculture because they can basically do whatever the hell they want, and everybody just sort of has to cope or leave. Is there anything hidden within the first-person shooter game in the computer lab? There certainly isn't as much as the rhythm game or the fishing game. It'd be kind of nice to go back in there and add some stuff. It's sort of out of place, I agree. Cryptodynamic. Some more questions. Hi, Kinnick. Hi, Cryptodynamic. Does Midgard have any people, products, etc., codenamed either a Ragnarok or a Fimblewinter? I don't believe they have a Fimblewinter yet, at least. They do definitely have a Ragnarok. In general, sort of rule of thumb, not like official policy, but rule of thumb is people will get the proper names of individuals, and projects will get basically anything else. So, you know, places, groups of people, creatures, which, I mean, there's some blurring there, right? Like, you know, is Venerus a person or project or whatever. But, yeah, that's sort of the, and you'll get, like, some people who are named objects and some projects that are named people just because, it's not actually, you know, nobody's enforcing a hard and fast rule. But that's the general split, so it would probably be, like, Project or Subproject Ragnarok or Fimblewinter rather than just calling someone Ragnarok. Although I would totally accept a code name as Ragnarok, because that would be sweet. I mean, if they were codenaming me and they were like, oh, you're Ragnarok, I'd be like, yeah! Have you ever given any more thought to additional Mad Holidays? Perhaps something to follow up the spring? Something based on Ulf Fergusnacht seems like it would be thematically appropriate, even if the people of Metroplex don't celebrate it themselves. I would like to get another spring in. It will... don't quote me on this as of yet, but I would actually... it will probably be... a sort of... the Veterans Day equivalent for the veterans of the Orbital Wars, both because it seems like the sort of thing that they would have, and because it lets us illustrate some interesting backstory stuff and introduce some bit players. Could be kind of interesting. Looking at the items that you haven't identified yet, is there anything special about item 666? You mean it needs something special other than being item 666? Or, you know, 616, depending on your translation. Is there any part of the game you say that we've been ignoring but has some interesting secrets lurking in it? I wouldn't say there's anything really that people have been ignoring, per se. I mean, even, I mean, there's certainly some... some of the stuff that's hardest to find, I would say, in general, and I'm not really sure if it counts as being ignored, though, is just places where there's an overlap between two sections of the game, like, you know, PvP and combat, or PvP and hacking, or hacking and combat, or, you know, crazy etheric stuff and hacking, or, like, what have you. And those tend to get missed as people sort of section things off. And I understand that people have to sort of be like, okay, I'm gonna spade some PvP stuff. You sort of have to, you know, cut out everything around it to reduce the number of variables to a manageable level. But there's, you know, there are some connections that are gonna get missed doing that. With the discovery of Whispers from the Stars, on top of all the other injector skills, is there any substance that isn't a good idea to inject yourself with in electricity? Electrify. There we go. That actually makes sense. Is there any substance that isn't a good idea to inject yourself with and electrify? If there isn't, I haven't seen it yet. It actually makes me want to go back and add another skill for something you haven't found yet. That would be absolutely terrible to inject into yourself. Some questions from Aranoth. Now that we don't have any offensive techniques in our decks initially, could you implement some sort of reminder to go in there and change stuff? It would help run to not die to insane bumps first turn and run, or at least non-0% chance of running away. More of a request than a question, I know. If you're not getting the normal default text at the beginning of the run, let me know what your deck was at the end of last run, I guess. And I will poke at that. There's some stuff that it tries to sort of carry across, but that might be being too aggressive. Or there might just be a total bug. Are there any more items like the Painted Parasol that transform based on what we and our opponents do? Let's see, there's a couple with Christmas that I know people have figured out. And a few others floating around, yeah. And there's a lot of just, like, little effects, like, you know, boosted attacks or, you know, short duration buffs, things like that. I really like that you're able to get a skill through a neural chip. Back in happening, really good flavor, very Matrix and stuff. Do you plan to add new skills like that in the future? Yeah, I would very much like to have some of those. There probably will be one for Novos too once everything gets updated. I should say at least one, I guess. Some questions from Volmo. Thank you very much for. By the way, I apologize if I'm doing weird things to the vowels in people's names. I've been trying to work on my Japanese vowels because they're terrible, and now when I see weird words, there's a decent chance that I will pronounce it like it's a Japanese word, like, you know, sort of halfway, because I'm working on things. So I apologize if I butchered anyone's vowels. Anyway, thank you very much for getting another podcast on the go, and hopefully everything is going well on your end. Time for some questions. Meg already asked about the upgraded form of the Code of Mysterious Circuitry, but don't worry, I have a few related questions. The Gothic Guardian and Coat both respond to drunkenness, made me notice we lack spooze that packs a punch. Will we be able to use our chemistry skills at some point to create more potent potables? Well, I would not be surprised if there were some distillation in your future. I mean, probably just like, you know, vodka plus vodka equals delicious vodka, or what have you. I would hesitate to include any actual, like, mixology, so to speak. you're allowed to punch me for saying mixology, by the way, everyone out there in podcast land. But just because I don't really think that falls into chemistry's purview, but actual, like, distillation and stuff would tend to. Certainly circuitry technique responds to sight link, but I haven't seen anything respond to it in the Gothic Ruins net. Is there another little bit lurking about with sight link? In general, I would expect to only find sight link stuff at places where meat space is interacting with the net, or, you know, vice versa. So if you're actually, like, in a Novos encounter, I'd be surprised to see sight link doing anything. If you're, you know, using something from a Novos encounter to, you know, kill all that lives, sight link is probably helpful. Following the last hint you gave in a previous podcast, the code I ended up stumbling upon an interaction between Pale Swordsman and Neuralink, I feel like I'm missing something important. Is there another piece missing? I mean, there's sort of puzzles within enigmas, within mysteries, within riddles, and so on and so forth. Actually, I don't think I ever have any riddles, except in the, you know, very general sense. Don't have any wordplay type riddles. Still on the top of the Neuralink, just how dangerous can a Neuralink be for normal people? It depends a lot on the quality of the chips you're slotting and the quality of the Neuralink. I mean, obviously, like, if you have a shitty Neuralink, you could fry yourself pretty easily. But they're... even the ones that you get in Metroplex tend to not be, you know, at least, like, cross-wired or anything. They're just low fidelity. But the... as far as the actual dangers, if you're using, like, chips from a trusted source, whether that be Zaibatsu or, like, your dealer who, you know, is actually not a douchebag, you're basically fine. It's sort of like alcohol, in that, I mean, as long as you're not drinking, like, you know, moonshine from out in the shed, or the person who's making your moonshine, you know that they're actually competent, like, having a little bit of it isn't going to give you a problem. Having a ton of it, you can not, like, cause permanent damage, but you'll give yourself a pretty bad headache. If you slot too many chips, as obviously it does in the game. So that's not super dangerous. If you start interacting with untrusted sources, you can do a lot of damage, very easily. When you're talking about places that do have a white market, as it were, for chips, it's sort of on the line of, like, white market for, like, prescription medicine, almost. Not prescription, I guess, more like over-the-counter, I guess. In that, you are very dependent on the people providing the chips to perform good quality control, and in turn, if there's any sort of competition at all, those providers will be working very, very hard to make sure that the quality control is there, because recalls and so forth. That gets a little warped if you're talking about, like, Zaibatsu settlements and so forth, where there's only, like, a provider, and they could really just do whatever the fuck they want. On the whole, though, even in those situations, Zaibatsu's chips tend to be pretty clean, and don't, you know, usually fry people's brains. But if someone had a neural bridge, and you could give them a chip that they would slot, and you wanted to kill them or do a variety of really awful things to them, it wouldn't be terribly terribly challenging. As much as I'm sure that there was a long period of freaking out about that sort of thing, because humans, it's not particularly more dangerous in that sense, like in the malfeasance sense, than accepting, you know, like, food from people. I mean, like, you know, someone could totally slip cyanide into your hamburger. Doesn't mean we stop eating hamburgers. We've just sort of gotten used to that risk and moved on. And in much of the world, that's also happened with neural recordings. Although, there's a larger, so the malfeasance usually isn't deeply considered, unless you're talking about using it for hacking purposes. But in which case it's sort of free reign. But the problems of quality control are more what people are usually concerned with. So there will be a lot of people, not in Metroplex, but in the wider world, who will, like, only buy Zaibatsu chips. Or from, you know, a particular company from Hong Kong. Because Hong Kong does a lot of... it does a lot of that sort of stuff as well. And the technology itself is basically... It's sort of like getting a... This is going to sound so weird. It's sort of like getting Blu-ray. Which, if I make that reference in a year or two, I might be dating myself. In that, like, Zaibatsu really has sort of a stranglehold on a lot of the production and manufacturing. But other people will produce content. And even if, like, the content is... fucked up enough, sort of, not in the sense that you can put, like, viruses exactly or anything like that in there, but, you know, high band transmissions, things like that, you could fuck someone up pretty badly, and so, yeah, a lot of quality control. Anyway, so, just how dangerous can a Neuralink be for normal people? You could absolutely positively kill someone or make them a vegetable. But it's fairly easily manageable. So it's not something most people worry about. At least the sort of people that would use Neuralinks. Out of curiosity, have we found everything pertaining to the Ragman escape? I find the Ragman interesting, so I wouldn't mind having a little more tucked away. There is... at least a couple of interactions that haven't been found because the things that they interact with haven't been found. So I feel like might be one other thing as well, but I'm gonna stick with at least most of the stuff that hasn't been found is because it's interacting with something that has nothing to do with the Ragman's cape. Well, that's not true at all, but it's interacting with something that is not part of the content that launched with that. And that other thing, other things haven't been found. Looks like we have reached the end of our journey. I should go tend my bread, but thank you all very much for listening and asking questions. Thank you all, obviously, if you donate. Thanks for playing, and I hope to see you again in podcast 36.